You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here
was in control
is
of
pastor
all
Ralph.
Things. As you see in your bulletin, we're back in our study in the book of Hebrews. In our introductory verses are coming out of chapter 10, and we'll begin our reading at verse 12. That should be page 1046 if you're using a pew Bible. When last we are in this book and we're backing up and we're reviewing some verses that we've already seen. But we know the writer has been talking about the works of the temple priests, the works that they had to do moment by moment, day by day, year after year. And then it points down to the work or finished works of Jesus Christ in verse 12. If you're with me, please say amen. And the word says, but this man, speaking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And I always make this point that you only sit down because you're finished. And indeed, he said from the cross, it is finished. From henceforth, expecting to his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. And of course he's speaking about his church, those that God has saved and set apart for his use, no longer the use of the world. Well, it says the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, save the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In other words, guys, not just rehearsing it, just to know it in your mind, but realizing it in your heart that the Holy Spirit has given us and engrafted on our hearts the truth of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, the verse says, there's no more offering for sin. And listen, no more trying to pay for our sin through the animal sacrifices that they were doing every year. That Christ has taken that invoice, that sin invoice, and he has marked it paid in full. I think about those that are going and battle cancer, perhaps some are here now, and they'll get a proclamation from the doctor that'll say, your cancer is in remission. Simply put, meaning that, look, you don't no longer have an issue with it anymore. But the only problem with the physical remission of that disease is that sometimes it still comes back. But the remission that we have gotten for Christ, it's never coming back. And listen, the penalty for those sins have been paid once and for all. We see in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a, look, new and living way. In other words, no more dead animals, but a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil. And again, not the temple veil, but the heavenly veil. And the verse ends, it says, that is to say, his flesh. And he used this word consecrated, that simply put means it's been declared righteous, declared holy, and been declared holy by God himself. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I dig deeper into this book as we continue in this sermon series, Christ Alone is Worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless and minister, Father God, in a mighty and a special way. Father, each and every one that's here, Lord, needs to hear from you, and we pray that you speak to us collectively, yes, but speak to us individually in our hearts and allow these truths to find that place. In fact, we ask that you would place these truths in our hearts where they would do the most good. Father, we thank you in advance. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, and amen. And amen. He goes on in verse 21. He says, and having an high priest over the house of God. And by the way, the only true high priest, and that's Jesus. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, it says, from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And we know that they would do that with the animal. They would mix the animal blood with water and they would sprinkle everything with that. But he's saying that let us have our conscience, let us have our spirit, let us have our souls sprinkled with what Christ has done for us. That look, and that's a byproduct of what he has done. We could not have done it, but Christ did that for us. And he goes on in verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. And guys, I look at it this way, that Christ grabbed a hold of me and he saved me and he's not letting me go. I'm not to let him go either. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I need to hold on to his hand. I'm like a little child, man, that has a father, a heavenly father. And just like a child, you're crossing the street, the child's going to grab your hand and he's going to walk with you. I'm grabbing a hold of the Lord's hand and I'm not letting it go. Even when I think I can do something, I know I can do it better through Christ who strengthens me. And I will hold to his never-changing hand. He goes on in verse 24, and let us consider one another, I love this, to provoke unto love and to do good works. And listen, I was talking with John that comes in here in the morning and sets up for us, and he was talking about how every time he goes to talk with somebody, they'll say, hey John, how you doing? And then he'll say, I'm doing okay. And then they give him a half hour soliloquy in regard to what's going on with them, because in reality, that's all they wanted to do was talk about themselves. But the writer here, he tells us that we're to consider one another, to provoke unto love, and to do good works. Guys, it's not just about me and what I go through anymore. It's also about you. It's also about you. It's also about you. And then he has the audacity to go into verse 25, which is a key verse. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He goes on. But exhorting one another, and in other words, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And guys, we think about where we're at, and look, he was writing during his time, it was wicked. It's even that much more wicked now. We're seeing wickedness in high places, that the world is trying to get us to accept sin and say that it's right. And look, as a believer, we know we can't go there. And the day is approaching. The day is approaching when Christ is coming back here and is getting more and more wicked. And the more we see that, the more we see that day approaching, we need more fellowship with one another and surely fellowship with the Lord. And he tells us here that we're not to forsake. And guys, by the way, he's talking about corporate worship. I never forget before COVID. Man, it was so many people in here, you couldn't even hardly move. And then COVID hit. Man, we had the ladies that put together a little choir. We had committees that were doing different things with food and different various things. And COVID hit, we couldn't come in anymore. And so we couldn't corporately worship. That was a reason. And then they allowed us to do worship outside. And we went out there and we were doing okay for a while. But it was during the hot days, and it was getting hotter and hotter. We bought a tent. And listen, I'm out there preaching to beat the band. And I would always notice on the video, I would start in the middle of this tent. And when I would look at the video, the tent would be all the way over here. And I'm all the way in the corner. I'm like, well, what's going on? But the wind was hitting so hard, it was literally dragging this tent. So we bought some weights to try to hold it down, some cinder block. We did everything. And then lo and behold, they said, okay, new beginnings, you can come back inside, but you can only have 10 folk. And so we did that for a while. In fact, Deacon Frank used to stand at the door, and if more than 10 came in, he would step outside and listen to it outside. And then they opened the doors wide open and said, okay, you're good. You can bring it all you want. And listen, with all our efforts to let folk know we are back here full-fledged, man, we got what we got. And listen, we're grateful for that. But I get from other folk, they say that, well, you're doing it on video. I can just watch it at home. Because they've gotten used to being home because of COVID. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a fan of watching preaching on video. I like that. Love it. But I need to be here because what I know is that, look, when I see Ralph coming here and I know he's been ailing and I see him come through the door, it does my heart good. When somebody that's been out and couldn't come in and they come in and they say hi or they speak to me or they say a kind word, it does my heart good. Because the fellowship of the saints, man, you don't only just get when you come from what I say. You bring something with you, and God uses us as a body to encourage one another. And it's just a blessing to be in the company of the saints for 1 hour a week. And that's a blessing. It really is. And listen, that's why he said that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, that it's an encouragement that we help one another, we come along one another, we pray for one another. You bring good news and sometimes bad news, but then it gives us something else to pray for. It makes every difference in the world. And look, I try to tell folk that just want to watch it on video, I tell them, look, you need to come out. And look, you don't necessarily need to be here, but you need to be in a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, because that's what God will use to bless your heart and will bless others through you as well. It's a blessing. Man, when Scott goes back up north, and then when he comes back, man, it's a blessing. I know the Lord has been taking care of him and have brought him back safe and sound. When the Maharis family, when they were on vacation and they come back, and I hear what happened, it's a blessing to hear. And whatever goes on in your life, and you share that with us, and you come in here, it's an encouragement to all of us. And some folk have not yet got that. And by the way, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And he's talking about those that just won't go to church, guys. If he says that we're not to forsake the assembling, in other words, corporate worship, then if we do, we're in sin, period. And look, it don't necessarily have to be here, but throughout the week, you need to be in corporate worship with other believers, so that your heart is blessed along with everybody else's. And that's all I'm going to say about that. No, I got something up now. And look, the Lord's going to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. He said, not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Exhorting, he says, one another. In other words, encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. He goes on in verse 26. And it's amazing, man. Right after he says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, verse 26, he goes right into, for if we sin willfully, and listen, I read that after he said that verse, and look, I've had people look me in my face and says, you know what, I know I should have been there yesterday, because I go to work, I go here, I go do what I want to do, and listen, I do all that, and guys, I'm going to share this with you. Me and my wife on Fridays and Saturdays, probably with you as well, that if I ever was going to get sick, if my stomach were ever going to bother me, if my sinus were ever going to flare up, that's when it's going to happen, and Satan would love me to roll over in bed and say, I can't do it today, and I have folk look me in my face and tell me that very same thing. But yet and still, they still won't push forward in Christ and do what he's told them to do in regard to corporate worship. and I listen to some people, and I hear what they're saying. I hear their ailments. I hear what they're going through. I hear some of the problems that they're having. And what I know is that, man, if you were just around other believers, man, you would not be where you are now, because you would be encouraged by someone else, and someone else would be praying for you personally. I know that. I've been there and done that. And the Lord stressed that on my heart as well. He says in verse 26, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. He says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, he said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And you read that and you say, man, that sounds tragic. Guys, it really is tragic, because he's pointing toward those who say one thing, but they're doing another. They say they're believers, but they still want to do what they want to do, and they continue to do what they want to do. And it's pointing toward those that God calls in his word apostates. They say they know the Lord, but their lives are saying that something else is going on. And that's a sad state of affairs. He says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain, he goes on, verse 27, fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And look, he's pointing towards God's judgment. And what I know is that God's judgment is not for believers. His judgment is for those that don't know him. He chastens those he loves and knows. He allows judgment, his wrath on those that he don't know. He says in verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And listen, those that were marching or walking with Moses that he brought out of Egypt, most of them did not love the true and living God. And it said that they were destroyed, and many of them, most of them were destroyed in the wilderness. God said that generation will never go into my promised land, and that was on earth, and it was also in heaven. And I love the fact he said by two or three witnesses, if somebody was wrong or in sin, they would gather together elders, two or three, and if they all agreed, then guess what? The Bible speaks about it where two or three are in the, that God is in the midst, where two and three gather under his name. God's in the midst. It's not just for the blessing, it's also for judgment as well. And that's what happened with them. He said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much more or how much sore punishment. And by the way, that was in the old covenant. He says in verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot of the Son of God and have counted, look, the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, or seemingly sanctified, or said they were sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, folk are walking around saying, I love the Lord, I love him, I'm saved, but yet still walking in sin. And what the writer is saying is that, look, in Moses' time, those folk did see hell. And he's saying in our time, if folk are going to hear the unadulterated word of truth and say, I believe what the word is saying, and I believe that Christ died for me, but yet and still they're going to continue to walk on it and trod on it and sin on it. On it as if it means absolutely nothing. And he's saying that if those from Moses' time entered in hell, what kind of punishment would these guys get? And listen, the scripture actually intimates of different and various punishments in hell, that just being in hell is bad enough, but that it can also get worse. And in fact, in Luke 12, as well as Matthew 11, it intimates that some are beaten with stripes and some are beaten with more stripes. And listen, I don't know how bad hell can be. Don't want to taste it. Scripture helps us with that. But even to be able to be worse than to be separated from God, I don't even want to fathom that with our minds. He says in verse 29, of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who have trodden under the foot, look, of the Son of God. He's talking about in the new covenant, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And man, guys, I got to be honest, man, I'm not afraid of too many men. I really aren't. Some guys are scary. Some guys scare me. But man, there is no way I would go against God and his word without being fearful. Man, I would be afraid. And in fact, there are some folk in this world that, because I see their lies and they're telling me one thing, but I'm seeing something else. I am afraid for them, because they're not messing with me. They're not playing with me, but they're playing with the God of glory, the Father of all things. And that's never going to end well. Never. If I was to walk up to Mike Tyson and slap him in the face, it's probably not going to go well for me. But man, to mess around with the God of glory and to say, oh, I love you, Lord, and turn right back around and just walk all over his truth, right into sin, that really is not going to go well for me. He says in verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again it said, the Lord shall judge his people. And guys, I've seen this all through scripture and all through my life, that in this life, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, whether I know or not, God knows. Nobody gets away with anything in this life, in particular with sin. Nobody. And either you're going to pay for it and end up in hell, or Christ has paid for it, which is going to have our God have to spank or whip you if you're living in a way that's not right. He says in verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And he goes on in verse 31. He says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And guys, he's the one. He just said he's going to recompense. And listen, if you're wrong, and God knows whether we're wrong from the inside out. He doesn't care what we say. He doesn't care what we tell other people. He looks at our heart, and he knows that this boy ain't right. This woman ain't right. And they're talking to me. They're saying they know me, but I don't know them. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Guys, if you would mark that page right there, and I want us to go to the book of Romans and look at a few verses there. Romans chapter 1 should be page 976 if you're using a Pew Bible. Romans chapter 1. I just want to look at a few verses here. And we're going to zero in on verse 13. Again, 976 in our Pew Bible. Thank you, Lord. Beginning at verse 13, as Paul writes this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 1, beginning at verse 13. Thank you. If you're there, please say amen. And Paul writes here, he says, now I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, he was hindered that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So Paul wanted to be a blessing to them as he's being a blessing to everyone else. And he's speaking to this Roman church. He says, I am a debtor. In other words, Paul's saying, I owe. He says, both to the Greeks, and they were considered the intellectuals of the time. He said, and to the barbarians, and they were considered the lower rung or the rank and file people. He says, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I owe the scripture and truth to all of them. So much, verse 15, he says, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And listen, he wanted to get to them. He's the evangelist to the Gentiles. He wants to get to them. He's not been able to get there for whatever reason. And he goes on in verse 16, and this is key. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In other words, man, it's good for what ails you, no matter where you come from. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, look, the just shall live by faith. And listen, faith simply put is believing without seeing. God said it, I believe it. I don't need to go there and test it because it's already done. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God, look what he says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And listen, he's talking about the wrath of God. He's talking about his anger being kindled toward those that don't know him, those that are his enemy. And he's saying that he's going toward those that are in ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Guys, and we look at our time, and right now they're trying to make something that's wrong and want to tell you is right. And that's exactly what he's talking about. He said, my wrath is kindled against them. I'm going to take care of them. He goes on, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. In other words, he's talking about God's moral law. Everybody's born with a sense of right and wrong. And look, they take and have sins their consciences, but they know what's right or wrong. You see a little kid, and you told him not to do this and don't do that, and they'll look you in their face with a raw smile on there, and they want to go and touch what you told them not to do. They know. He goes on, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. And listen, he's pointing here toward natural revelation, how the sun comes up, it goes down, the moon comes out, the stars are out, different seasons, even the dogs and the animals, their hair gets longer in winter, even in Florida. He's talking about natural revelation. Everybody sees that. And he goes on, he says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So all those that are walking around saying, oh, God knows me, I know God, and that's the problem. He does know them, but not for the pardon of their sin, and he's going to deal with them. Verse 21, he says, but because that when they knew God, in other words, in their conscience, they knew of a God, they knew there was a God. It says they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became, look, vain, and that's self-centered in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. In other words, it was already dark, but made more dark because they kept gravitating to the area of sin, professing themselves to be wise. Look what it says. They became fools. And guys, I listen sometimes to folk who are educated, folk who should have more sense than they have, and they come out of their mouths with some things that just doesn't make any sense to this old simple boy. It just doesn't. How can you take and tell me that if you were born a man, that you are now going to be made into a woman? I can't make that make sense. And from the godly perspective, or even from the common sense perspective, I can't make that make sense. And guess what? Because it makes no sense, and they're going against God, and they're calling right wrong and wrong right. He said, professing themselves, verse 22, to be wise, they became fools. And
you've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.